Thank you, everyone. Last Wednesday, the Toronto District School Board did something that we should all be very proud of. We unanimously supported a motion to stop asking students for their immigration status, that they're not going to be asked and they don't have to tell. As well, we're going to be working with the City of Toronto and Toronto agencies and all stakeholders involved on creating a policy that's going to be firm for the future, that's going to ensure that we never go backwards, and that we make sure that every kid who wants to come to a school in Toronto can do so without fear, and every parent who wants to send their kid to school never has to fear that their kids are going to be used as pawns, that their kids are going to be used as hostages to go after their parents. They should never have to worry about that. Now, as Winnie said, the elections are coming up, and wherever you live, support your trustee if you believe they're going towards progressive policies such as this. We're looking at huge cuts at the school board potentially, and you need to vote for a trustee who supports public education, will say no to cuts, and say no to deportation of our kids. So thank you so much, everyone, for your support. The reason the Toronto District School Board passed our policy, quite frankly, is because we heard from you, and the pressure and the concern and the support that we heard made it unanimous at the board table. So keep it up. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And we all have to keep watching this, and we have to keep pushing for an access without fear, for a don't ask, don't tell policy in all the school boards and in the city, so that everybody who has no status can access and use daily services without the fear of detention and deportation.
Don't ask, don't tell means a policy where nobody would be able to ask for anyone's immigration status, and if they knew somehow, that they wouldn't tell immigration enforcement. So right now we're working to get this passed at city council level, which is really the goal of this campaign, is so that anybody living or working in Toronto can go about their daily lives, can access certain basic services like healthcare, education, emergency services, food banks, anything, without having to worry that someone, that by doing that, they're opening themselves up to a possible detention or deportation. And so far, it's been a really successful campaign. The Police Services Board actually adopted a partial policy where they said that they'll no longer ask victims or witnesses of a crime about their immigration status. It's a partial victory because they said that unless they have bona fide reasons. So that's the clause, but we're going to continue fighting for it. And also the Toronto District School Board, after all the outcry and outrage over the Lozano Sosa case and the other cases of children who've been arrested in school, just on Wednesday actually endorsed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy and resolved that if an immigration official ever comes to a school looking for the student, they will not give them the student, and they will tell them to go take it up with the school board itself.
Is it actually legal under our current law for the immigration officials to come in and basically seize the children at the schools?
There is actually a contradiction in that, because under the Education Act, every child, every person in Ontario has a right to go to school regardless of immigration status, and that's actually in the Education Act. So by sending immigration enforcement officials into the school, they're actually preventing that part of the law from actually being fulfilled. Because obviously, I mean, even after the Lozano Sosa family, we saw was that most of the ESL classes didn't show up for the next few days because their families were all terrified that if they sent them to school, they were going to be arrested and the families were going to be arrested as well. I just want to mention also, I think that, you know, while we're talking about trying to get these policies passed at the school board, at Police Services Board, at the level of City Council, that it's not just by no means lobbying or just, you know, trying to get this passed with politicians. The way that this is really won is through grassroots community support, and that's what we saw. I mean, at the Toronto District School Board, the only reason that they passed it is because so many people in the community wrote their trustees, talked to them, told them that they weren't going to accept this happening in their schools, and actually showed up at the meeting and it was a packed house, a standing room only, at a Toronto District School Board meeting. And they were really pushed into making this decision. And I think that's what we're seeing with City Council as well. The only way that we're actually going to win a victory for this campaign, for this policy to be passed, is through building support in all the communities in Toronto, all the people who really realize what's going on, because they have friends who've been deported, neighbors who've been deported, as well as just everyone in the city.
Where do you see as being the next sort of major places for growth in the movement? How has Labour been very involved up until now? Is that an area that is growing in particular?
Labour has been very involved. Actually, for today's National Day of Action, we had a lot of major unions come out, the CAW, the Secondary School Teachers Union, the Canadian Labour Congress, Unite Here, who've been very supportive in resources and also in mobilizing their members. And I think the labor movement is really important for the immigrant refugee rights movement, because we have to make the links that most people who come to this country are immigrants, are working poor, are working in terrible conditions, who get less than minimum wage because really they have no rights in the workplace. And we really do need to make that connection between unions and workers here and the reasons that they should support this movement for rights, for status for all.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that there would be a meeting on June 7th, a report back following from the march, and some decisions made on how to move forward. Is there any other information that you can provide for people that are interested in that and interested in sort of some of the next steps and how to get more involved?
Yeah, of course. The next event we're having after today's Status for All march is going to be a report back and kind of community meeting. That's going to be on June 7th at OISE, happening at 7 p.m., I think. And the idea is that today was a great show of people saying we're not going to be afraid, we're not going to accept these policies, and we're going to go out in the streets and let everyone know that. So the meeting on June 7th is now to take all the people who are here today and all the different communities represented, and to strategize around what are the next steps, how do we move forward, how do we build this movement, and how are we going to win this fight. So that is again on June 7th at OISE, and people want more information, they can check out our website at toronto.nooneisillegal.org.
And I guess just any final reflections, it was pointed out by at least one of the presenters that in terms of demonstrating and in terms of fighting for one's own rights, it's a very difficult and complicated thing to do if you're an undocumented worker or migrant, that it's nearly impossible, as has been mentioned, just to access basic services, let alone to risk walking in the streets and demanding rights. And could you maybe just, I guess, share some thoughts in terms of the importance of solidarity work in this particular case, and that, I guess, responsibility of friends and neighbors and people that are just aware and concerned that this is going on?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, there was a lot of, there were a lot of people marching here today who didn't have status. And I think what we've seen is that the safest way for people to come out is when we know we're going to have a lot of people out, when they know there's going to be a lot of community support, a lot of support from just all sectors of everyone in the city. And there were people here speaking today on the stage who weren't afraid to speak because they realized how much support there is for them. And I think we just have to keep building that support, both in non-status communities and immigrant communities and in just any other communities around here, because it just creates a safer space for people to be able to continue that fight when they know that there's going to be, all these people are going to be backing them up.